flowers, the fruit and the vegetables, the milk and cream and butter and cheese and eggs and meat and fish and seafood and so on. God gives us things in abundance, doesn't he? And sadly, I think sometimes we just take it for granted. I was only reading that this week a report has come out that has said the number of animals, generally animals in the world, has declined.
Endangered
species. Not just endangered species. Animals, generally, vertebrates, has declined by a half in the last 40 years, actually. Now, that was astonishing. I had to read that again. In the last 40 years, the number of vertebrates, animals with a backbone, in the world is about a half what it was 40 years ago. I think sometimes we take these things for granted, don't we? And yet God is, in his generosity, he gives us so much, and we just are not always thankful for it. And sadly, our society is becoming, I think, less and less generous, more and more careful with profits and margins and so on. In the supermarket, perhaps you noticed prices creeping up gradually. Or even more deadly, the price stays the same, but the packet gets a bit smaller. Have you seen that?
Yes.
Or even sometimes the packet stays the same, but then when you take it home and open it, you find it's only half full. Isn't that a bit sad? Bit of a shock, in a way. Yeah. Welfare benefits are cut. That we notice. Or perhaps a bit less noticeable, you're offered welfare benefits and so on, but you're told it'll come in 2 or 3 weeks' time. You're going to have to wait. And what are you going to do in the meantime? How are you going to live in that waiting period? Many people you meet are still kind, but our society in Britain, the rich are growing richer and the poor are growing poorer by comparison. Our society is modelling tight control of money rather than generosity. And I think one of the callings of the church today from God is to be generous. Like God is generous, to model his character, to show what God is like to a world which increasingly is cutting back and tightening up. And generosity requires the ability to open our hands, to let go, to give, doesn't it? And of course, opening our hands means not only that we can give, but it also means we can receive from God as well. His blessings, so we can receive with pleasure and give with enthusiasm. Somebody was reminding me before the service of that monkey a week or two back. Do you remember? Who reached into the jar for the nuts, grabbed the nuts, and then couldn't pull his fist out again. And apparently this is the way to catch a monkey. But of course, if you let go, then you're free. You know, you can come and go, you can take your hand out and so on. But it's that letting go which is so hard, opening our hands to give and to receive. Now, I know many people are generous still, and we're grateful for that. There are those who sell their homes and downsize in order to provide for others. There are those who scrimp and save to write out a check for people perhaps on the far side of the world who don't have fresh water or a well to drink from. Many charities report stories of sacrificial giving. We need to be generous as God is generous. It's part of our calling as Christians. And no matter how much our society denies it, we are made in the image of God. It's his nature to be generous and to give in abundance. Many things in life are free. And it's still true, isn't it, today?
Yeah,
that's right. But some of the best things in life are free, aren't they? And we can enjoy those good things that God gives to us. human love, close relationships, and so on. And of course, God has given us the best thing of all in his Son, our Saviour, Jesus Christ. He gave his life for us on the cross, to die on the cross for us. So at harvest time, we're grateful, we're thankful for all God's goodness to us. And so our best response is to give in return. Not just the leftovers that we can spare, but to give ourselves, to give our time and our energy, to give perhaps from our substance, which is harder to do. Harvest time is the time when we can give to Beacon House, for example, and the food bank, and to other charities. We can give generously to those in need. And of course, we give to God's work in the church. Perhaps some of you pick up the diocesan newspaper, The Month, which is on the table at the back there. And inside it, the expert on figures and statistics, Don Cardy, he's written a piece here on how generous different people are in giving to the church. And he's worked out the figures that it's actually the poorer people who give more of their money to God's work. Those who earn between £5,000 and £10,000 a year, who are not well off, in other words, give a greater proportion of that to God's work in the church than the professionals who earn £40,000 or more, who may give more in cash terms, perhaps, but who give less in proportion of their income and their earnings. And that fits, do you remember, with the story when Jesus and his disciples were sitting outside the temple and they watched the people coming and giving their gifts into the temple treasury. And you remember Jesus said to his disciples, look at the rich. The rich are coming along and tossing their gift into the chest for the treasury with a big clatter and a loud noise. And then he saw the poor widow coming and dropping in 2 coins. And somehow Jesus knew, I think the Spirit told him, that that was her last savings. That was all that she had. She didn't give 10%. She gave 100%. And Jesus said to his disciples, now you should be like that. You should be generous. Because God is generous. God gives us everything. In our second reading that Jean read to us from 2 Corinthians, Paul encourages the Christians of Corinth in their giving to the poor and to the needy. And that group of Christians in Corinth, they were very generous already. But Paul said, it's also about your attitude. It's also about the way that you give. You mustn't give thinking that you're a martyr, you mustn't give with an attitude of meanness, but you should give with joy and generosity, being open-hearted in your giving. And he produced that wonderful saying that Jean even enjoyed as she read it, that God loves a cheerful giver. And that the word cheerful, in the Greek, it's actually like our word hilarious. God loves a hilarious giver, someone who's really enjoying giving and making a good thing of it. And Paul was sure, too, that in their generosity, they would be blessed by God. Have a little look, perhaps, at the reading. Halfway down there, he says, now. Halfway down that second reading, now. He who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will also supply and increase your store of seed and will enlarge the harvest of your righteousness. You will be made rich in every way, so that you can be generous on every occasion. In other words, he's saying, if you are generous like God, then God will bless you. It's not automatic. It's not like a fruit machine or something. But he's saying that God will bless you if you bless others. You can't outgive God, many preachers say. And so it's our responsibility, isn't it, in our response at harvest time, not only to thank God for his generosity, but also to show God's generosity in our lives, in our character, in what we give in return. You can do that in many ways. Of course, we need to give regularly for the needs of the church. If you want to talk about that, then I'm sure Sue would love to have a chat with you afterwards. She can tell you the best ways to do that. But of course, at harvest time, we can give to those particularly in need. And what we've brought up the front is a symbol of that. So let's just pray and give thanks to God for his goodness and pray that we in our turn could be thankful and generous. Lord, we bless you for the fruits of the earth in their seasons, for everything that we enjoy from you. And we pray that you would help us to be generous and giving people, and especially to those in need. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.